You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And man, is there a lot going on. There is a huge Monday Night Football game at SoFi, as Chris indicated. The Dodgers are 2 days away from a win-or-go-home playoff game. The Lakers debuted yesterday. I've got some thoughts on that I'll share with you this hour. We got Game of Games coming up later this hour. A whole bunch of stuff going on today. And I wanted to get a few things in here before we circle back to the Dodgers, Clinton. Do you do a Stephen A. Smith impersonation?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But I've seen this, and so I will let you explain this.
Now, there is somebody on TikTok named Jerry Jamie, and she's really, really good at impersonating Stephen A. So much so that she found an old rant of his, and she mimics him. You'll hear Stephen A. in the background, but you'll hear her voice mainly. And she gets it down to the cadence, the voice, the tone, even the hand motions. It's a little better if you can watch it, but it's still great just to hear it. Here she is with her own Stephen A. tribute.
I am a person that believes in second chances. I think America is the land of second chances, except for when it comes to this dude, Mr. Jabba the Hutt, you fat, slobberly, no good, lazy, bum of a quarterback. And listen, that's what he was with the Oakland Raiders. Darren Woodson was just sitting up here. He played for the Raiders. Ask him. Ask any member of the Oakland Raiders who played alongside this dude. This dude should be arrested for thief, for being a thief. He stole money from the Oakland Raiders. For years, I'm talking $40 million the dude had about set aside that absolutely, positively nothing. He cashed in the money, evidently used it on buying a bunch of donuts, okay? Never gave 2 cents about the Oakland Raiders. Didn't care whether they won, didn't care whether they lost, constantly changed his expression. The only time we saw him give a speck of effort was when he was literally caught on camera blowing his nose. That's about it. This dude is the epitome of a disgrace.
That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty good. I forgot how good that rant was in general.
Right.
Never mind her performance as a thespian.
Yes.
It's great if you haven't seen it. Go check that out.
They say imitation is the highest form of flattery.
We would tell you to go check it out on IG, but that's down. So,
right. Is it still down?
It's still down for me.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of money somebody's losing. All
right.
So we haven't touched on this yet. Over the weekend, two college games of significance. UCLA looked awful. I mean, Arizona State ran through them like the Arizona Cardinals ran through the Rams. It was that bad. And Bergman, Bruin Report Online, which is where all the diehard UCLA fans hang out, thinks that Chip Kelly might be done after this loss.
What?
That both USC and UCLA could be looking for new coaches next year. Greg, you think that's possible?
I do think it's possible. Chip Kelly needs to win at least 9 games to keep this job, and I don't even know if at this point it's either A, feasible, or really going to happen. So, yeah, really, right now what needs to happen, it should have happened right after the game ended on Saturday. Jerry Azzanero, who is the defensive coordinator, should have been fired immediately. He should have never been hired, and he should be fired immediately because that defense is horrendous. I know that sounds kind of crazy. Oh, go firing people. But think about it this way.
Crazy.
All of these guys that are on this Bruin team are 4th, 5th, and 6th year seniors.
Clinton,
these are not young kids.
They returned 21 starters. 21 out of 22. They got out of the gate quick. They were 2-0, and they've now just fallen apart. And Greg's right, they can't stop anybody. Fresno State went right down the middle of the field. Arizona State went right down the middle of the field. I never thought I would say this after those two early wins this season, especially the win over LSU. But now we know LSU's not very good, and UCLA's defense is a mess. I think we could have a situation in Southern California where both schools are looking for a coach at the same time.
I
don't know if that's ever happened before.
I got to say that what are UCLA football's expectations in real actual life?
I mean, would say what you is to compete, not necessarily always win it, but compete for the Pac-12 South title.
How far away are they from that?
Well, right. I thought this was the year, didn't you, Greg?
Yeah,
that's a different discussion from how far they are away from it, actually. Like, well, ASU's not a terrible football team in some regards. Their offense is better. Their running game is complete, even if not necessarily dominant. How far out of the division?
Clinton, based on the money they've invested in the program,
sure,
and invested in the coaching staff, to not have a winning season is unacceptable. And Chip hasn't had one yet.
Do you know what Chip Kelly's coaching record at UCLA is? Clinton,
no.
You have any idea? 13-23.
What?
13-23.
Clinton, they spend major money. Yeah.
They built a state-of-the-art football facility. They paid for Kelly. They gave him a guaranteed contract. And it just seems to me that this new guy, Martin Jarman, gets it, this new athletic director. He's incredibly popular over there. Everybody who deals with him swears by him.
We love Jarman.
And I think Jarman is too smart to get to keep paying a guy who just checks out at the door. And so, Greg, I don't think it ever does any good to fire a coach in the middle of the season. So I'll give Chip the rest of this year. Right. Yes, he did because they wanted to open up their search. And I'm going to get to them in a minute. But I think Chip's in real trouble if he keeps losing games like this, giving up 50 points at home to a team that's not ranked.
Just terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
It looked awful. All right, so the other thing.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. But Instagram is back up, according to Twitter.
Oh,
Instagram
we're
is back.
That, that is a breaking news piece of information we needed to know.
And I would just like to say that there are professional athletes across the four major sports who are now back on their computers after a whole day of not being DM'd by Instagram models, and now the world is a safer place.
Okay, I see where Ireland's mind is today. First of all, defending Urban Meyer getting lap dances. Second of all, immediately goes to strippers in the DMs when thinking about IG.
Trust me, ask my good friend Michael Thompson. The biggest worry if you're an NBA parent is that your son and it doesn't have to necessarily even be NBA. It can be NFL, Major League Baseball, is going to get involved with some Instagram model. That's their biggest concern in life, trust me. Or an influencer. That's even more dangerous.
Hey now, watch yourself. Some of us are considered influencers in this world.
So here's the other thing that I wanted to mention about the weekend in college football. Cincinnati beat Notre Dame in South Bend and looked really good doing it. Now, Mason's like this. Mason's a USC fan. He says, Luke Fickle isn't a big enough name for the USC job. But get a load of this, Clinton. Cincinnati's now ranked seventh in the country. They've won 35 of their last 41 games under Fickle, stretching back to the start of the 2018 season. And the guy who hired him in Cincinnati was
Bone.
Mike Bone,
yeah,
who's the athletic director at USC. At this point, if you're a USC fan, wouldn't you consider yourselves fortunate to get Luke Fickle?
100%. Let's also not think about the other thing that is looming in the football world, a little place called the National Football League. All right, you've seen some of the guys who've made jumps in the past five seasons. I'm thinking about Rule at Carolina.
Matt Rule.
I'm thinking about Joe Judge in New York. You know, like, you can get there from where he is, Fickle. I don't think that USC needs to be looking at this as if he's not a big enough name. USC might not be a big enough deal for the kind of football coach that guy is.
Right, but I would no longer have any apprehension if I was a Trojan fan if this is who Mike Bone is zeroing in on. Because he's won 35 of 41. He just went into Notre Dame and beat them convincingly. Last year, he almost beat Georgia. He had 11 wins 2 years ago, 10 wins last year, or a 9 out of 10 last year in the COVID-shortened season, and he's undefeated and ranked 7th in the country this year. This guy's a really good coach.
Absolutely. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the words of Fat Joe on IG, but he's been popularized for a new term recently, which is yesterday's price is not today's price with Fickle. You know what I'm saying? And it's going up. Big time, every single time the Bearcats take the field, because they're not just looking like some – this is not UCF. This is not some plucky squad trying to convince you that they deserve a national championship. They're hitting people in the mouth, and they've been doing it for a couple seasons now, Greg.
Hey, so, Ireland, what do you think of Luke Fickle as the head coach of the UCLA Bruins?
Well, we have Nick Cronin already. Yeah.
The Cincinnati to UCLA pipeline?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It could be. Luke Fickle, next UCLA head coach.
I don't hate it.
You don't.
And,
I don't
if,
either.
If they pay Luke Fickle what they're paying Chip Kelly, I think he would come.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he gets big wins. He just beat Notre Dame in Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, I think USC fans should stop saying that he's not a good enough candidate.
Was Cincinnati favored in that game?
No.
They are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay, because I like that. Like to anybody who's been watching, that was not a major upset by any stretch of the imagination. Like,
they were both undefeated, which makes me think that. And Notre Dame was at home, so
Notre Dame's
3 points for being
at
home.
At least a push.
But you might be right. It could have been close.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, how worried should the Dodgers be about the St. Louis Cardinals? We'll get into that. Reminder coming up later this hour, Game of Games, my game today. It's a new month. Bergman, who won on Friday?
That'd be me, sir.
Okay, so you're going for a 2-0 lead, and that's coming up later this hour. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we've tried to cover it all today. We talked a lot about the Rams. We talked a lot about the game tonight at SoFi Stadium, the Chargers hosting the Raiders. And then we've hit the huge game. The Dodgers played 162 games. They won 106 of them. And Clinton, all that got them was a trip to the one-game playoff.
Hey, it's going to be rough. You
and
know
so
what I'm saying?
I bet more than half of my mythical money on the Dodgers. I just think they're going to pull it out. But I'm going to throw some things. Where did I get this? The LA Times had a list of reasons why I should be worried about the Cardinals, and I want to see if these are something or nothing. Okay. Now, one of the reasons is Adam Wainwright. He's 40. He's going to be the starting pitcher for the Cardinals. He's 40. His fastball averages under 90 miles an hour, but he's big in big games. He went 17-7 this year, ERA of just over 3 in 32 starts. He pitched against the Dodgers once, gave up 4 runs and 7 hits in 8 1/3 innings in a win for the Cardinals back on September 8th. Should I be worried about Adam Wainwright?
No. I think that Wainwright is a formidable opponent. I think that Wainwright is having a great year. But I would also say to that, if you can't beat Adam Wainwright, well, then you ain't winning nothing no-how. You know what I'm saying? This is one of those situations. He's not lighting the world on fire. He's having a great season for a 40-year-old, which are two completely separate things, in my opinion. If this lineup, the Dodgers lineup, that is, can't find a way to get to him, I'm not saying you got to knock him out of the game in the second inning, but I'm not looking at him as any more of a hurdle than, let's just say, anybody the Dodgers throw out there against the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are the best defensive team in baseball. They have a major league best 52 outs above average. 41 runs prevented. They're really, really good on defense. They may be able to keep the score down. Something or nothing.
That's the biggest something you're going to see from any opponent, I think, that the Dodgers face. The bottom line is that defense and clutch plays in the playoffs stand out more largely on the scorecard and in the real game than they do in any regular season game. That's just a function of the total competitive aspect of it. And especially when you have a team that, you know, hits the ball and runs the bases well, in terms of how they really sort of make a difference in the Dodgers, if you've got a squad that's cutting you down on the base pass and it's not even letting you get into your stuff, I mean, that's a serious advantage. I think that the fielding ability of the Cardinals is the biggest thing that they're going to have to deal with the Dodgers as an opponent.
To put that in perspective, they have 21 Gold Glove awards between them.
That's wild.
When they start, Yadier Molina has 9, Nolan Arenado has 8, Paul Goldschmidt has 3. Tyler O'Neill has 1. They have 21 between them. So they're really, really good defensive.
Yadi on his own is a factor in terms of his headiness. Greg, you know, you've seen Yadi Molina for years. That guy's one of the best catchers in the history of the game. He himself is a sub-factor of that overall defensive setup.
Yeah, he's not going to make a lot of mistakes. And not only that, Nolan Arenado, he doesn't just have gold gloves, John. He has platinum gloves. He is the best fielder in baseball.
Their closer is having a really good year, a guy named Giovanni Gallegos.
Mm-hmm.
He throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and an 85-mile-an-hour slider. So basically what that tells me is they don't want to be behind going to the ninth inning, or they're going to see this guy, right?
Sure, but again, this is where I'm not considering this a huge something because they've got the one thing that matters, which is home field advantage. You get to bat last. That is a major reason why I'm not as worried about this game as I could be. Sure, environment matters. Daily routine matters. But the real advantage of being at home in a baseball game is that you're never out of the game. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
When you're dealing with a closer who's good, I mean, it might not even get to that. But if it does get to that, you still have a chance. I don't consider him as, again, comparative to the Dodgers is where I'm looking at a lot of this, John, which is it's not a bigger the staff of the Dodgers is not a bigger deal for the staff of the Cardinals is not a bigger deal for the Dodgers than the staff of the Dodgers is for the Cardinals.
So, the hottest hitter in the Cardinals has been Paul Goldschmidt since August 11th. All right, so almost two full months.
Mm-hmm.
Goldschmidt's hit .356 with an OPS over 1,100, 13 homers and 36 RBIs in just 47 games. On the season, he's got 31 homers, 99 RBIs. It seems to me that if somebody's going to – Arenado's got 30 homers. Tyler O'Neill's got a big bat. But Goldschmidt's the guy that scares me. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, but Goldschmidt is a guy who's just a flat-out professional hitter. Like, he's been – I like him a lot. I think it's kind of interesting that he's bounced around a little bit in the last couple of years and found a home in St. Louis. But, yeah, I mean, but that's one guy. You know what I mean? Like, Arenado obviously is – obviously, he's a great player, but to me, the only real reason why I think the Cardinals have a chance is because this is a one-game situation. They've been on a little bit of a streak. Now, mind you, they've lost, four of the last five, Greg? Five of the last six, maybe, the Cardinals? But they went on that long tear. But if this isn't a one-game situation, nobody's worried about this. So I don't think that any of the sort of larger scouting issues, considering the fact that you have Max Scherzer starting – sort of change in a one-game environment. The only thing that changes is the luck of the draw in that particular case, which is where fielding comes in big.
So I think the Dodgers are going to win.
I do too.
Scherzer's pitched twice against the Cardinals this year. He hasn't allowed any runs.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, I'm worried if they get to the Dodger bullpen that we might be in trouble.
Well, that's the issue, is that if you had to go with sort of a weaknesses and strengths, the biggest of the weaknesses is the Dodger bullpen, Greg. Do you not? I mean, I think so in terms of like things that otherwise could be strengths. You're making faces, but like, what are you most concerned about from the Dodger standpoint?
I mean, it's not really the bullpen. The bullpen has been one of the best in all of baseball. I was trying to look up the stats real quick of what the bullpen
sure,
looks
but
like.
I mean, in a one game scenario, is
yeah, you kind of throw some
sure,
of that stuff
I mean, that's
out.
That's what I'm talking about. But that's the one scenario in which the one game situation does actually affect things, which is, well, the bullpen goes, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of one of the things, like, you know, when Kenley Jansen comes out, we all get freaked out. But he has been really good. You know what the crazy thing about all of it is? That Kenley has probably been the best Dodger reliever in a while. And by the way, the Dodgers led all of Major League Baseball in ERA. So
okay.
Well, yet in a one game, like Clinton's yeah, right, in a one game playoff,
that
don't you kind of throw
yeah,
all that stuff out?
Yeah.
I mean, you do a little bit, but I mean, I just know what this team and what you've seen from them and the way that they get out of jams, that's been really impressive to me. And that happens with a lot of the bullpen guys too. Alex Vesia has come in and gotten out of major jams where he's had bases loaded and one out and he gets out of it. Or, you know, Blake Treinen puts himself into a little bit, but he gets out of it. I mean, I even trust Corey Knebel. There's a lot of this Dodger bullpen.
Why do you say Knebel? Isn't it Knebel?
Knebel. I believe it's Knebel. Why do you say a lot of the names that you say?
Okay.
You say
Okay, let's not get sidetracked here. Right. Now let me tell you something. Now, the concern,
it is Knebel, though. I think you're right.
The
it's
concern
Knebel.
Is that you don't get like one of these freak games. I remember a couple years ago, I was going to Atlanta for something. I was traveling on a separate trip, Ireland, for something. I get in my car, and it was game five of the NLDS, I believe. The Cards were playing the Braves, and the Cards put up like 10 runs in the first inning. And the Braves just didn't have a shot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that is my only real concern. I think if you get a normal baseball game, so to speak, the Dodgers have a pretty good shot as they're just more talented and a deeper squad. But if something weird happens, if you get some blow-up crooked number in the first, second, or third, that's what my concern is that things get out of pocket, and then you're dealing with a weird situation on the day. Baseball for baseball, laws of averages, or whatever that may be, I think the Dodgers win this game, and I don't think it's going to be that tough.
All right, coming up next, we haven't talked about the Lakers yet. They had their first preseason game yesterday. I got some thoughts on that. And Andrew Wiggins decided to get vaccinated.
Oh.
What does that mean for Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving? We'll get into that coming up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so we've talked about the Raiders, the Chargers, USC, UCLA, the Dodgers, and a bunch of other stuff. The one thing we haven't had time to get to until now is the Lakers. And Clinton, yesterday the Lakers had their first preseason game.
Yeah.
But you have to take it with kind of a grain of salt because Westbrook and LeBron and Melo didn't play. Anthony Davis only played part of the first quarter. So it was tough to gauge what the, you know, the goal was for Frank Vogel and the coaching staff.
You don't want to talk about the most important part of the game, which is Dwight Howard getting a tech and fouling out and having a great time? No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is they were trying to figure out if that was a flagrant foul or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding. They took like 6 minutes.
Oh, no.
They stopped the game. It made no sense. I mean, they've got to find a way to stop.
Yeah, we can't.
Stopping the games for as long as they can. They're working on it. They're working on it.
You can't have that kind of delay.
But so the Nets won big. Not surprisingly, although the Nets didn't play their big three either. No Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, no James Harden. But if you're watching these games as a Laker fan, the question you're trying to answer is, who gets the other two starting spots along with AD, LeBron, and Westbrook? And the guy who made the strongest case for that yesterday was Malik Monk. He didn't start, but he came off the bench. 6 of 12 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. And Clinton, anybody who can shoot 50% from 3 when they're surrounded by LeBron, AD, and Westbrook is going to get a look to start because they're going to be open for most of the season. You can't guard those star players with one guy. So one of them's getting doubled, and whoever can hit open threes is going to be the beneficiary of that. And yesterday it was Monk.
Not to mention that what this team lost from a three-point standpoint is major. You know, that's part of what this roster turnover has been, is that they got to find that player just in general because they don't have a whole ton of shooters that are lining the bench for those kind of opportunities. So not just within the scheme, but I think overall on the roster, you got to find that person because that's what you need in the modern NBA, as you brought up. I mean, Melo can take off some of that, but, you know, he's only one player.
THT struggled a little bit. He scored 10 points, but he was 3 of 11 from the field.
Had a nice dunk.
Wayne Ellington was 2 of 7. So it wasn't discouraging in any way. I really liked what I saw out of Monk. I thought DeAndre Jordan had moments where he looked good. But it's clearly a work in progress. The next game's going to be Wednesday. And again, I harped on this once earlier, but I want to keep beating this drum. That game time has been moved on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's going to be at 3:00 in the afternoon, Lakers at Suns. The reason they're doing that is that the Phoenix Mercury is in the WNBA semifinals, and they wanted to clear the stage for the ladies and give them the night slot because they both play in the same arena. So the Lakers are going to kind of take one for the team and agree to play earlier, and so the girls can get showcased at night,
and then we'll. They kind of worked out good for me, Clinton, because after that, I can go back to the hotel and watch the wild card game.
Well, this had to happen. You know what I mean? Because this is sort of a separate discussion here, but we talked about this on The Jump today with Sedano and Momo, myself, which is these like little secondhand slights, and in many cases firsthand slights, that the WNBA has to endure are just incredibly lame. Like moving arenas, having to fly commercial, all that kind of stuff. So good on everybody involved to clear the runway, pun intended, for this thing to happen the way that it's supposed to be. My understanding, John, is that they're actually going to have the mercury markings on the court for the Lakers-Suns game, which is kind of cool too.
Okay, so that's going down on Wednesday. Now, something else that happened over the weekend, that a little bit surprising because he said he would never do it, is that Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors agreed to get vaccinated. That means that all these stories out there about him not being able to play home games because of city ordinances in San Francisco are now out the window. He can play in every game. He's unrestricted, as all of his teammates are. All the Lakers, by the way, are vaccinated. Mm. That leaves Bradley Beal of the Wizards and Kyrie Irving of the Nets as the two biggest names who, at least to this point, have refused to get vaccinated. How do you think those stories end, Clinton?
So this is I don't even know where to start on this. I'll say it this way. Those of you who know me know I'm from D.C., but I lived in L.A. for a little bit here. And Bradley Beal is a guy who, as far as the Wizards are concerned, has been, I'll just say it, a deep embarrassment to that franchise because of his behavior in the past week. He came out and said a bunch of really weird stuff.
And to that point, Clinton, not to interrupt you, but I wanted to mention that, you probably know Candace Bunker, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so Candace, I got to know her when she was covering the Wizards.
Yeah, Candace is great. She wrote this column. Yeah.
She wrote a column. I sent it to you. And for people who want some perspective on what's going on with Bradley Beal and some of the background on what Clinton is talking about, go find Candace Buckner's column in the Washington Post about how Beal has been one of her favorite players to cover. They have family that grew up in the same area. She's known him since he came into the league. She had a great amount of respect for him, and she cannot for the life of her figure out what he's done over the past week. I just wanted to throw that in, but go ahead.
And on top of that, they made a choice to keep Beal and separate themselves from the guy who was a much more popular player in John Wall, and they kept him for the reasons that, as Theodore Leontis himself said, high character, quality guys. Which, okay, but Beal is now in a spot where, as a team leader on a bad team in a major basketball city, basketball is not only measured by what the NBA team in that city does. DC is a huge basketball place.
Yeah, it's where Kevin Durant's from.
Exactly. He's been a massive letdown. And I think that for guys like this, this is going to be a real eye-opener, because I've said this before and I'll say it again. Y'all don't look as smart as you think you do. You know, whether or not you want to talk about science as a basketball player, or whether or not you want to talk about the fact that, guess what? If you're not vaccinated, you can't play. That, to me, is what a larger part of this has come down to at this stage, 2 weeks out from the regular season. I ain't here to go back and forth about what you think about the effectiveness of mRNA vaccines. I am here to find out whether or not you think playing for the team that pays you to play basketball is worth your time. And that is where this gets really difficult. I think that's what happened with Wiggins. Wiggins came out first and foremost and said something that was really stupid and got embarrassed on the internet. I definitely think that the value of that is of a factor. Secondly, he tried to sneak one past the NBA, which I think was an insult to a lot of people's intelligence, saying he deserved a religious exemption. Come on, son. Thirdly, he ends up getting the vaccine, and Steve Kerr came out and said, listen, I don't really want to talk about this. All I know is that one of our most valuable players can play on the team, and I think ultimately that's what this comes down to. Guys saying, listen, do you want to play or not? That's really what all this is, and I commend Wiggins, John, for actually making a step to make himself more available. He's one of the most durable players in the league, and the Warriors need him to take a chance at the title.
And to kind of put a focus on how it affects us here in Los Angeles, the Lakers are one of two favorites to win the NBA title. The other one is Brooklyn. If Kyrie Irving hangs onto this stance and refuses to get vaccinated, it puts a major dent in Brooklyn's chances. And I watched this team play Clinton, I watched this team play yesterday. They're good defensively. They've got a young kid that they drafted at LSU. And this kid, Cam Thomas it's just a flat. He's 19 years old, and I think he missed two shots. He scored 21 points, was the leading scorer in the game for both teams. They've got a really bright future if Kyrie figures this out. If that cloud is over that franchise, and you know, everybody has a right to do whatever they feel like they need to do. But like you, I thought you catched it well. It's what it means to your team and your teammates, mm-hmm. and Kyrie could derail that whole train. And it'll be very interesting to see now that Wiggins, who came out and said he'd never do it, changed his mind and did it, what Beal and Kyrie decide to do. Because I think it's going to be really interesting to follow. By the way, the season starts in 2 weeks.
Right. You got to do it now if you're going to do it at all. I also think there's an outside chance that Kyrie comes out and says he's already vaccinated. He was just doing this to prove a point about the media and invasion of privacy and this, that,
sounds
and the third,
like him.
Because he's that kind of dude. But, like, ultimately, don't rob yourself of the opportunity to do the thing that you love most for the sake of some weird, frankly, cowardly scientific stance when we're all out here just trying to get basketball games in and get the experiences so that people can do the things that they love and everybody can be safe while they do it.
All right, coming up next, Game of Games. It's my game. Greg, Clinton, and Jorge will battle when we return. 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, it is time for Game of Games. It's near the beginning of a new month. Greg Bergman won the first game in October on Friday. And Bergman, you're going to be favored to win again today. This is a game I'm bringing back that you were very good at back in the day. I haven't played it in a while. Clinton and Jorge are going to compete against you. This is the Uber facts game, but I had to change the way we play. I have 7 facts. I'll ask each one of you if it's an actual Uber fact or if I just made it up. And whoever gets the most one right wins. Now, I'll have a tiebreak at the end if we need it. Okay, so here we go. 7 facts. Clinton Yates, Jorge Briones, and Greg Bergman. All right, fact number 1. Jorge, we'll start with you. The average person can survive for 19 hours in a buried coffin before running out of oxygen. Is that true or false?
I'll say true.
Okay, Greg.
True.
Clinton.
I'm going false. That seems a little long.
Seems
Clinton
low.
Clinton sniffed it out. It is false. 5.5 hours.
Like 19 hours.
19 hours. Bergman, what do you think? You guys got like a scuba tank? What's wrong with you?
No way.
All right, question number 2. Bergman, we start with you this time.
Okay.
In 2005, a man named Ronald McDonald robbed a Wendy's. True or false?
I just want it to be true, so true.
Okay, Clinton.
I'll say true. I feel like I perhaps remember that.
Jorge.
I'm with the crowd, true.
All 3 of you get a point. It's 100% accurate. Yeah. Ronald McDonald robbed a Wendy's. All right, Clinton. You're 2 for 2, and you go first this time. Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live worked at a movie theater in college and was fired for telling rude customers how Titanic ended. True or false?
I'll believe that. I've never seen the movie Titanic. Fun fact.
What?
No. Again, we go over this all the time. I'm a brother from the 80s and 90s in D.C. Titanic was not on the schedule.
All right. True
and
or
will
false?
Not be on the schedule.
True
I think
false?
It's true.
No Kate Winslet for you?
No.
You're going true. Jorge, true or false?
I'm going to go false.
Bergman, break the tie.
See, he would normally – I feel like this is something you would do, but I also think you might have been watching something with Bill Hader, so I'm going to say it's false.
Clinton has taken a command.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's absolutely true.
Bang!
Clinton Yates 3, Jorge 1, Bergman 1. All right, Jorge, you went first that time?
No. Oh, did I?
No, I did.
No, Clinton,
okay, Clinton went first. So back to you, Jorge. Here we go. Stephen King has said that he must sleep with his legs under the covers to ensure that nothing grabs him. True or false, Jorge?
Now I'm going to go false.
All right, Bergman.
False.
Clinton.
I think that's false as well, but Stephen King is a super weird guy.
So you're going false?
Yes.
All three of you, incorrect. Whoa. Stephen King did say
wow.
He must sleep in the same
sanctuary. See, I should have trusted my gut because he's a weird one.
Yeah.
Clinton. I don't like this new version, John.
Hey, Bergman, you're not dead yet. Clinton, three. Jorge and Greg, one each. All right, Greg, this one to you. A woman from New Zealand was fired for using the caps lock too often in work emails. True or false?
It should be true. That's true.
Okay, Clinton.
I hope that's true.
Yeah.
You're going true?
Yes.
Jorge.
I'm going false.
Jorge, not your day. Greg and Clinton got it right. 100% true. They fired this woman for using.
One of the best compliments I ever got was somebody told me that when I'm on the radio and I get fired up, I talk in caps lock.
Excellent.
All right. I like that.
Clinton, this one to you.
All right.
People born in the month of October are more likely to live to 100. True or false?
I'm going to say because my mother is born in October, and I hope that she lives as long as she wants to. That's true.
All right, Jorge.
I'll say false.
Greg.
I got to go false.
Clinton is a runaway.
Let's go.
That was the only chance I had.
100% true. All right, we'll do the last one in the tiebreaker just for fun. In a survey of 68,000 women from 180 countries, 89% said that sense of humor is the most important trait when it comes to choosing a partner. Clinton, true or false?
I think that's true. I've heard that my whole life.
Jorge?
True.
Greg.
I think you want us to think it's true. It's false.
Greg, you sniffed that out. Like, that was old school Bergman right there. Kindness. 89% said kindness is the most important trait.
Okay. I guess if I had heard the other options, I might have picked otherwise, but yeah.
All
okay.
right. So, and here is the tiebreaker in a game that Clinton Yates has already won. According to a study in the UK, if the average worker works 8 hours a day, how many hours and minutes is that worker actually productive? Clinton, so they put in the 8-hour day.
Yeah.
How many hours/minutes is that worker actually productive?
This is a question for Mace. I'm going to say
of 8 hours.
4.5 hours.
4.5. All right, Jorge.
I'll say 3.5.
3.5. Greg.
Is this the closest without going over, or doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter.
I've won.
$1, Bob.
$1 means that Jorge is the
yes.
winner.
Oh. Yes.
The answer, but Greg, you were on the right track.
Yeah.
The answer is 2 hours and 23 minutes.
Damn.
What are they doing for the other 6 hours?
On their phone.
Yeah.
Playing games.
Playing Angry Birds. Like,
Instagram. Yeah. Facebook.
Greg, all the people we work with at ESPN LA that put in an 8-hour day, they're really only working for 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Well, hold on. You said this was in England, right?
Right.
Well, see, England's a different operation. I mean, you know, they
get tea time.
Not the smartest.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you guys, either, you know? I don't know if you guys have ever spent any time in Europe.
I have.
Something we got to steal from those people is that siesta.
Oh, the siesta is perfect.
All right. So I went to Italy,
mm-hmm.
and my wife told me, hey, we got to go eat. We've got to eat by 1 o'clock.
Because they close, yeah.
And I go, why? He goes, because siesta from 1 to 4. And I went, what is siesta? She goes, everybody takes naps in the afternoon.
1 to 4 is a long siesta. Like 2 to 4, or 2 to 3:30.
Clinton, I would take 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Have some respect.
How did we get screwed out of the siesta?
Because people think that they should work themselves to death in the United States of America for the sake of the cause.
Well, you know, in France, the other thing they do, tell me if you guys would be for or against this.
August is off. Yep.
Well, not only is August off, they shut down your phone and your email at 5 o'clock and don't turn them back on until 9 the next morning.
Ooh.
That's a little crazy.
So you can't work from home.
So all those wild phone calls I get from you, Greg, about the Dodgers and what they're doing with their left-right matchup.
I need your opinion, Clinton.
Mason has a hangnail, Clinton. He does want to. Mason smoked too much weed. He can't work. Clinton, come help.
Have some respect.
Yeah, exactly. All right, coming up next is Sedano and Cap. Great. And a reminder, kickoff tonight, 5:20, the Raiders. Looking to go 4-0. I predicted they would go 17-0 this year.
Oh, right. Convenient.
So this is step four on their 17-0 journey. Clinton, thanks for pinch hitting. I know you're in here tomorrow with Mace.
Yep.
Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. Sedano and Cap standing by, 710 ESPN.